Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. How are
Fantastic.
You doing?
I'm doing terrific. I'm in a great mood today. Had a wonderful week. The weather's just been perfect, and had a lot of socializing this week, and it's been really great. My business is slowing down a little bit as it normally does at the end of June. It's been a really busy go for about 2.5 months or so, doing like a work on the outside of homes I do every year between like April and this time in June. And so it's nice that my days are becoming more and more free, and I'm kind of filling them with a whole bunch of friends and activities and just going out and spending whole nights just doing whatever I feel like with the people who in my life that I love. So it's been really great, and I'm really quite looking forward to it after I put in a bunch of work.
Excellent. I'm just sitting here thinking that's the way to work, right? It's just you work till you get enough money, and then, you have fun.
I feel like that old parable between the ant and the grasshopper. I don't know why that story always stuck out to me as a kid, or the ant that works all day every day, and the grasshopper doesn't do any work when it's time to work. And it's an oversimplified little story, but it always stuck out for me. And so kind of what you're saying, there's a time for work and there's a time for play, and it's important that we honor both of those things.
Exactly. Yeah. That's cool that you do.
How's your week been?
My week's been very good, actually. I've been sort of, as is my tendency as a 5 on the Enneagram, I can tend to hermit myself away. If I let myself, I will hermit myself away and not worry about getting together with people or whatever. Well, you had a very social week. I had a more quiet week, but I am recognizing how much I do want and need to be around people. So I'm making more of an effort to, instead of going on sort of binges, like doing a lot of socializing and then nothing, I'm trying to balance it out a bit more now and actually instead of waiting for people to connect with me, I'm putting myself out there and trying to connect with other people more, which has never in the past been my forte, but I find I'm getting much better at it as I do go along doing my work. And I'm trying to connect with at least one person that I've met along the way, whether it's at a networking thing or it's a friend or whatever. To make an effort to connect with them at least once a week, aside from my family, which I see all the time. And so I did do that, which was great. And I started my next meditation series, started putting together the ideas for it and what I want to say and how I want it to be formulated. So, it's been a pretty good week. And I've been outside working in the garden, too. So lots of good sunshine and exercise, walking, trying to do more of that, too. So I'm sort of pushing myself to go out on my own as opposed to waiting for my cousin, who's my usual walking partner. So, a lot of things I'm trying to change up and do differently and see how that goes. But, it's nice to be out in the sunshine and, taking all those beautiful rays.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's just been just gorgeous weather here as on the whole for the summer so far. I think it's really interesting that you bring up the idea of like reaching out to people to have an experience of connection and just enjoying somebody else. Because it's like, I always kind of go back to it. And sometimes when I'm talking to people and people sometimes get into a rut and even myself. can get into a rut at times. And I feel like sometimes we lose the inspiration or the follow through, maybe not inspiration, of having some creative energy come up and through us. And I feel like it's always a good go to. It's always a good, you know, we talk all the time on the show about having tools in your toolbox to get you out of, you know, if you are, you know, if you take a sense, if you look inside and you're like, I'm feeling a little bit like I got some energy trapped, or I'm not fully expressive and taking in this moment. You know, sometimes I feel like a tool that we can go to is kind of getting in touch with our creative spirit. And sometimes, you know, it's not even so much just about, like, you know, if you had painting in your past by making a painting, or, you know, doing an arts or a craft or something like that, or if you're like into home improvement, doing something on those lines. It's also, you know, of being creative and reaching out and creating what it is, an experience that we want. And just like that, reaching out to people and creating, you know, recreating old relationships and moving them forward and creating new relationships with people who we haven't even met yet. It's all about this creative energy where, you know, had we not taken action, had we not been inspired and taken action, it wouldn't have occurred. It wouldn't have become manifest in our experience of life. And I think it's a really, not only is it wonderful to go out with somebody, if that's the example, you know, on a Thursday where we wouldn't have otherwise, but it's also a very good muscle to work out, is the idea that from the time Thursday lunch hits to the time that you go to bed on Thursday night, we can create a whole world of positive change and positive experience and positive emotions just based on our ability and our confidence in ourselves to go and create something in our lives that is in line with the thing that we wanted to feel or the thing that we wanted to use to get ourselves out of a blockage in our energy or a blockage in our expression of life or a blockage in our experience of life when we feel things are being like drab. And I think it's wonderful and something to focus on and certainly a tool to keep in mind that we can create an experience for ourselves without relying on outward sources. Because I believe sometimes, I think that's sometimes too when we fall into that trap of distraction, is that we believe that an outside source can make our feelings go away, and really they don't. They just kind of mask them because they kind of take our attention off of it, but it never really goes away. And I think that you can really, you know, facilitate a growth, and like I said, to work out that muscle of creating an experience that we wish to have. And I feel sometimes that all of us, in the areas that we might not be strongest in, sometimes have trouble, you know, getting what we want.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, when I think about, you know, how I do tend to hermit myself, and I think about all the times after being in that sort of monastic life for weeks and weeks, and then getting into a place where I think, well, no one ever calls me, no one ever cares, no one cares for me because they don't call me to say they, you know, let's get together, and you know, getting totally into that victim side of it. And, you know, people say all the time, oh, we should get together. And, you know, many, many times it doesn't happen. The intentions are always good. But like you said, life gets in the way. We go into distraction and we forget, right? We get caught up in our own lives. And so I really started realizing that sort of cycle that I would do where I would distance myself from people and then go into that victim about how nobody came looking for me. And I just, it just started, you know, even now saying it sounds so ridiculous, but, you know, it did seem to me to sound so silly when I had everything I needed to change the situation. And, but for some reason, I must have liked being in that victim place. I don't think so anymore. I really feel like I want to shift that energy, and I really want to not visit the victim as much as possible anymore. And so, you know, I decided, you know, I'm going to, when I say I want to get together with someone, I'm going to get together with them. I'm going to make a point of calling them up and setting a date and, you know, going for coffee or going to a movie or you know, whatever it is, go for a walk in the park, whatever it is, I really want to make an effort to do that. That being said, I went to see Shania Twain last night. Such a good concert. And that was, you know, and the reason I bring that up is it was a very spontaneous thing. Usually, you know, if I go to a concert, I haven't been to that many concerts, you know, in the last 10 years, but usually if I go to a concert, it's, you know, you buy the tickets well in advance and you're, you know, there's the build up to it and et cetera, et cetera. And yesterday my daughter said, Shania Twain playing in Toronto, do you want to go? I'm going to get tickets on StubHub or whatever it is. And I said, okay. So that's what happened. She bought the tickets and we went. And, you know, it was nice because, again, you're connecting. I was connecting with my daughter and, you know, just having a girls' night out with her. And it's just all about saying yes instead of, you know, sitting back and waiting for life to happen to you, but just to really be in your life, to really live it instead of watch other people living it. And I think I spend a lot of my time in my life doing just that, is watching other people have adventures and live their lives and thinking, why can't that be me? And the reason why that couldn't be me was because I didn't choose it. So I'm making a more concerted effort to choose to live my life, to be fully in my life, to take advantage of the time I have and really enjoy and not spend my time, you know, wallowing in victimhood.
Yeah, that's really well put. And I love that, you know, just as you say that, and I'm kind of getting in touch with my own, you know, child, inner child. And I think about the moments that were most important to me as a kid, in those moments where connecting with a parent. And it was in those moments where that it was spontaneous. I mean, that's going to be like a landmark memory for the two of you, but especially for your daughter. You know, when, because I think what the child-parent relationship sometimes, the child feels like, there's this air of not being allowed to do things, or, you know, having inspiration but then having it be, you know, not be pragmatic, and the adult says, you know, maybe that's not something that we can do. You know, your imagination is larger than what can be, you know, put out for you in life. And I think in those moments where I remember in my own childhood where, you know, you come up with an idea to do with the parents and they just go along with it. You know, like I remember one day. I think I was something like I was 10 years old, and maybe a little bit older, maybe 11 or so. And my mom called us into to our parents' bedroom, and my sister, well, I don't know, she was like 7, and my little brother was like 2 or 3, and you know, called us into the parents' room, and this was like before school. This was like 8 o'clock, and it was a surprise. And my dad had taken the day off work, and they were going to take us to Wild Water Works, which is like a water park, you know, locally. And it was just like such a surprise, and like that spontaneity from the parents. And like, I just remember me and my sister just being so damn excited that, I mean, my parents would never let us have a day off school. I mean, they were hard and fast, you know. If you were homesick, you were in bed. You couldn't watch TV. You couldn't do nothing. So for them to just all of a sudden, out of the blue, with no warning, just say, we're taking the day off school, and Dad's taking the day off work, and we're going to go down to a water park. I mean, it was just, it's one of those, you know, two dozen memories that you have from childhood where it's just you connected with your parents. You're like, wow, they're not such bad people. They're not always saying no. And, you know, the facilitation of connection and camaraderie and of being on the same team. And really, isn't that what we're trying to facilitate as part of, you know, growing a family unit? And that's amazing. And so I'm so happy for that experience for you too.
Yeah, it was really great. I mean, you know, the funny thing is, as you're talking about your parents and bringing that cool day out on you, I can remember so many times when my kids were small and they'd say, "Mommy, let's do this," and "Mommy, let's do that," and I'd say, "Well, no, I can't do it because I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do whatever, you know, I have to clean the house, I have to vacuum, I have to do the laundry, whatever it was." And now, looking back from a totally different perspective, and not from the perspective of, you know, my kids are grown, but from that perspective of having done all this work, I think, you know, who cares about the laundry? Let's go have some fun. And I totally would have gone for it now, which is so interesting. And you know, that's, I think, what happened yesterday, is that it was, like, so spontaneous, and it just sounded like so much fun. And I love Shania Twain, so. And it was. We had a really good time. We went out for dinner first and took the GO train down and just had a really good time. But, you know, what you're saying about connection, and I think it's that sense of belonging that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know we belong, you know, and that we have people. I mean, some people say, you know, I found my tribe or whatever it is, but it is. It's like when you look at ancient cultures and you look at, you know, Native Americans and First Nations, they had their tribe. They knew where they belonged. Everybody supported each other and took care of each other, and it was a really safe and great environment. And I think we're all looking for that same kind of feeling, and that wanting to belong and to be a part of something. But sometimes we have to make that effort. Sometimes we can't sit back and wait for it to happen to us. We have to create it. We have to co-create with others in order to have that sense of belonging. And, you know, I think it's a lesson that it's taken me a lot of years to really understand. I find it really important. And I really see how you make your own, life. You create what your life is going to be by the choices that you make and the perspective that you have and where you're coming from in any given moment. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like especially that last part, you know, where you're coming from in any given moment, you know, the energy that you bring with you to whatever it is you're doing, especially when it comes to doing it with another person or many other people. It really is how your life is defined. You know, it's not even so much, you know, what you do, it's how you do it. And you know, I just feel like, you know, as you're talking and as I'm, you know, those feelings are still lingering from that memory and you sharing yours, you know, I think, and you say camaraderie, you reinforce that word, and I think it's so, or belonging, like it's so powerful in a human relationship with another human. And you know, it's always so beautiful. Like, I know how much I appreciate when somebody else is open to doing what I want to do, you know. And for me, if you want, like, to have friends and facilitate friendships and meaningful relationships, you know, sometimes we get in this thing where it's like, oh, I don't like to do that, and so I'm going to say no, you know, and I'm going to stand up for what it is that I want to do at each moment. And while it certainly is something to advocate for, everything is in balance. Everything needs to be in balance. And doing something with somebody else, just being open to their suggestion and just showing up fully with an energy of, yeah, we're doing this together and it's going to be great. And I'm really happy to come along with your inspiration for this activity or for this hour or for this evening. And my goodness, I mean, you want to make great friendships. I mean, that's really, I mean, it's a pretty easy recipe, but we have to be open to it. And in order to be open to it, I think we also have to do the work on ourselves, right? We have to be ready to come and have all of our own, meet all of our own needs to be able to show up with love for somebody else.
Yeah, and I think being present with someone else is probably the most important part of the experience. It's that sharing, mm-hmm. like you said, and knowing that you have, you know, you're in it together, and it's going to be fun just because you're spending that time together. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's the whole idea that you're actually, you know, spending time connecting and bonding with someone. And that's a really nice feeling to know that, you know, you have people in your life that you can do that with. And I just think it's so important. And I think sometimes we have to go out and get it. We can't just sit around and wait for it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it is funny, you know, even reaching out to other people and even conveying that message, you know, like I'm happy to be open to doing something that you'd like to do, you know, it's just funny because I think sometimes too also when I'm talking to people, and I'm sure that you have clients like this too, and maybe it's a male thing, maybe more than a female thing, I'm not sure, you might know better than I would. But I think sometimes men get into a habit of, or they get into a, I don't want to say rut again, but or they have trouble making new friends as an adult, as a fully employed, you know, leader of the household. They have difficulties with creating new friendships that aren't just, you know, the neighbors three doors down, aren't people in their, you know, it's not something that that's very familiar to them. You know, I think it's a part of life that sometimes when people are unhappy is usually that aspect of their life is lacking. And you know, bringing forward the energy that we're talking about in this show can really help fill up that life meter in that area of life. And its effects, its positive effects are just, they just permeate into every aspect of life.
Yeah, I think it is harder for men. Women, you know, it's so easy for women to connect with each other. But I think you're right about it being a little more difficult for men. I think it's because, well, what I've noticed in my work is that when men get together, it's usually around a specific event, like a sports, you know, hockey, football, let's play pool, let's whatever. Whereas women will get together just to have a glass of wine and talk. I don't see men doing that so much in groups. It's just sitting around, you know, to have a nice chat and talk about what's going on in your life. It's just not something that they're comfortable doing. Although I think they would really find the benefit in it if they did. And I think a lot of it comes from fear of sharing any vulnerability that they may have or ideas that, you know, they think their friends might think are a little too, it's like, dude, what are you doing? You know, please don't tell me how you personally feel about such and such, right? But I think there's, I think there's a lot more men out there who would be open to that than want to admit it. I think everybody's sort of standing in their corners and saying, well, no, I don't really go there with my pals, right? But I think deep down and secretly, a lot of them would really like to be able to do that with their buddies. So, and I think that the rewards from the ability to do that is amazing. I mean, I'm not saying that all men, but I think a good portion of men are in that situation. I mean, there's lots of men out there now who, you know, get together and really share who they are and get a little deeper than, you know, hey, way to go, Leafs or whatever. And I think it's great. And I think I think those men see the benefits of having, you know, other male friends that they can talk to. You know, because I know they can do it with women, but it's different doing it. It's really different bonding with men and sharing with men in that way because you do have more in common and you do understand, you know, I can listen to my husband talk about what's going on with him, but from a male perspective, can I fully understand it? I'm not a man, so probably not. You know, I can help him and I can help, you know, the men that I work with to move through stuff, but to really have someone who fully understands where they're coming from on certain levels and really share in that, I think is really important, and I think a lot of men would really benefit from it.
Yeah. I feel like we get the exact phrase escapes me right now, but how we reinforce ourselves into boxes, and I think societally, I mean, that's why it's important to question so many things because we through our subconscious behavior and just like habitual behavior and habitual responses to, let's say, you know, in a group of guys, somebody being vulnerable. I mean, it's not much of a stretch of an imagination that, like, in sports groups and groups where men are hanging out together, you know, if somebody is vulnerable, you know, if that gay word comes out immediately, you know, in men who aren't all that enlightened. And it's so funny how, you know, it is always so funny to me when you look at groups and it's always the oppressed who do the oppressing. And it works for any really group that is together, any subculture of group, and having that word or having, you know, the making fun and all these things that is like traditionally is supposed to be normalized behavior, but this normalized behavior is actually keeping us down in a way. And it sounds funny for a man to say that about men, but it is the man culture that keeps men down because they aren't allowed to express or explore, you know, maybe their full selves because of how quickly they would be ridiculed. And even if it's just in jest, even if it means nothing, it's still the oppressed doing the oppressing. And I think it's important to pick out these things in society where we see them happen and to call it out and to say that this is ridiculous, you know. Yeah, I don't have to make any examples, like say for women or for minority groups or anything. It's I'm sure we can all come up with examples where we reinforce ourselves into smaller and smaller boxes in the attempts to fit in and be cool and be respected amongst that group and play a part in the narrative of the group. We actually set ourselves backwards, and I think it's important to look at these things and stop them and call them out and talk about them when they present themselves.
And I say you go, because as a man on the path to enlightenment, you are one of the best people to be an advocate for that. So I think it's great that you're bringing all that up, because I think it's true. I think society's idea of what a man should be and what a man really wants to be, I think, are very, very different. And I think, like you said, because of how we pigeonhole ourselves, it's really keeps us stuck and feeling inauthentic, because we're not being who we really are and who we really want to be. We're being what we think society wants us to be. And it's very hard to have a relationship with an image. So if you want to have really good, deeply meaningful relationships with your friends, then you got to step out of the box. And you got to really, you know, put yourself out there and be authentic and be who you are and share that with other people.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's difficult to have a relationship with an identity. Yeah, isn't that true? Isn't that so true? But we've used up our show today, and would love for you to finish off the meditation, Bettina. I know.
Yeah, I'd love to. I can't believe the time went that fast. All right, let's meditate. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe and go to that place where you feel safe and protected, comfortable, loved, and at peace, relax into that place, because in this place you know that you can be exactly who you are without judgment or criticism, without fear of being something that society doesn't deem acceptable. But here you can be yourself in a safe and protective environment. And as you go to this place on a regular basis and you allow yourself to be all that you are standing in this place, you will build the courage and the strength and the self-worth to be able to step out of this image of the safe place and step into the world with that same courage and depth of meaning, with an authentic being that is so attractive and so loving. And you can be all that you are in the world. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to fit into pigeonholes. There's no reason to hide from the world because you're different. Celebrate your individuality. Celebrate that loving presence that you are and take it into the world, shining your light as bright can be. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week, and look forward to seeing you again next.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.